So today we're going to talk a little bit about just change, about seasons. The Bible says that there's seasons to everything, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's sometimes, we talk all the time about hearing God's voice, right? Can anyone kind of, like I said, back and forth, a little bit different than normal, but can anyone tell me what God's voice sounds like? Can anyone tell me how you hear God? You can raise your hand, I'll call on you. What? Through his word. What else? We filter the things that we hear through the word, right? That's like a strainer, right? We pour all these thoughts into our head, and the Bible we want to treat as a strainer, okay? How do we know what God's voice is? That's a pretty deep question. Out of all the questions we get back there, that is probably one of the most difficult questions we get from our kids. And it's so important to teach them how to hear God's voice. Because if you can't hear God's voice, you're just going to be running crazy, right? Think about if your kids didn't hear your voice. Sometimes it feels that way, right? You'd be, man. The other day, I don't know, the reason I'm wearing a hat today is because my head last night got closed in a door by my kid. Because she slammed the door shut. And I don't know how many times I told her not to touch doors, okay? We were just back there last week, and she got, sorry, my wife's yelling at me. We were just back there the other day, and she got her finger closed in the bathroom door over here like 2 weeks ago. Slid all the skin off her finger. So we've been talking about not touching doors. What happens yesterday? I get my head slammed in the door with a lot of weight, and it's one of those things where you just don't say anything. Because what goes in you will come out. Hopefully it's a good thing, but sometimes it's not, right? So we're going to talk about that today. Let's go ahead and go to John chapter 8, verse 12. If you guys have your Bible, I'll let you get there. John's one of my favorite books in the Bible. John actually calls himself Jesus' favorite. That's one of my favorite things. Like he says throughout it, Jesus' beloved follower. Sometimes I think about myself like that, like, man, God, I know I'm your favorite, bro. Okay, so it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Okay, we've heard that, right? If you've been a Christian for some time, you've heard that Bible verse. But I kind of want to take it, I kind of want to look at it from a different perspective. Okay, so I have my handy dandy little $1 flashlight because I couldn't find my good one. It's got to be Christine's fault. She probably put it somewhere. No, it was my fault. But if you want to shut the lights off real quick. So it says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, right? So a lot of times when we're talking about that verse, we're talking about eternal life, right? But I kind of want to look at it where, with a season, if we're looking at it by talking about seasons and where God's taking us in our life. So here we go. We got our light, right? This is Jesus. So let's say I need to get back to that point, okay? Let's say I'm walking all the way over here. This is where I'm at in my point in life right now. And I know God wants to take me over there. I can only see however far the flashlight is in front of me. After that, I don't know. Some of you guys, God will tell you, okay, we're going to go back to the sound booth. Some of you will say, hey, I want you to take one step forward. Okay? The only difference is if this was pitch black in the room right now, which it's not, thank the Lord we have some kids here. I know some of them don't like the dark. But I can only see as far as this light will go, correct? So my question is if I can only see right here, how do I get back to the sound booth? Well, I have to walk forward, right? I have to follow the light. So if we start following God and he says, okay, I want you to do this. I want you to step here. I want you to make this decision in your life. I want you to take this job, okay? And then I want you to do this. A lot of times, when we're following God, we can see these little pathways, okay? So I'll say, well, hey, man, I think I remember this. This is pretty dark. Well, this will take me back to the way I need to go. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've never been here before. well, I'll just keep going this way. And so even though I'm supposed to be way over there, some of you guys are getting blinded, I'm way over here. And so I'm like, well, I'll just figure it out, right? So I'll go here. Well, this is an open path. This is an easy road. I'll go down this way. Well, I'm getting God's, hold on. I feel led by God to go to the right. But man, there's a lot of stuff in the way. I'm going to have to walk around some stuff. I'm just going to go over here. And then God says, okay, well, I want you to start over. Okay, I want you to go to the left. And I don't know about you, but I'm a big guy. I don't like walking upstairs. Okay, so I'm like, nah, I'm going to go straight. So this whole time, I'm trying to figure it out on my own when the whole reason I can't just go there is because I can't see it at the end of the light, which is God, right? So sometimes God talks to us. You go ahead, turn the lights on. Sometimes God talks to us and he says, hey, I want you to take this next step. Okay? He doesn't tell us where we're going. Sometimes he does. So I wish he would always. That would make it so much easier for me, right? But sometimes God tells us to take the next step and we don't know what that looks like. And it's scary, man. We were talking about faith and how God doesn't want us to be scared. He wants us to trust him. And we asked the kids what they're scared of the most. And the thing we heard the most was, I'm scared of the dark. Well, we're not scared of the actual dark, right? We're scared of what's in the dark, okay? So right now, Christine and I are kind of in this situation where we see this far out in front of us. And I said I wasn't going to get emotional. God's leading us to go to Kansas City. And it's been a hard situation. Not hard, but if it was up to us, we'd be here. And so God's leading us to go to Kansas City. We haven't looked at any churches. We haven't looked at anything. I told Christine a couple weeks ago, I said, man, I think we're supposed to go to Kansas City. And she said, well, I knew that. And I'm like, what? Why didn't you say anything? She said, well, I was waiting on you. And a lot of times that's how it works for us. But we believe that God has a huge plan for us and a huge plan for the church. And if we were selfish and didn't follow that light, then we would not be doing justice to you guys and to the kids. And I want to make sure, if there's one thing I want you guys to know, it's that Christine and I have always followed what we felt God was calling us to do. And we will continue to do that. And that is, even if that means us leaving, which it is, this will always be our home church. We love you guys. Man, you guys are like our family. Just the amount of love we have received and support, whether it's been good, bad, or ugly, we will forever be indebted to you guys. And Christine and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and we're like not even the same people as we were when we first came here. We have grown so much. We've made so many mistakes. God has used this time to just completely better our marriage, better our family, and you guys have been part of that, and you guys have been a big blessing with that. And I just want all you guys to know, every single person that goes to church here, genuinely, we love you guys and we are thankful for you. There is no way our family would be as blessed as we are without you guys. And there's just, the words don't describe. I kind of talked about that a little bit when we were talking about worship. Words, there's times where you're so grateful, words don't describe it. I'm not going to get up here and sing to y'all, but that's how we feel. So today we're going to talk about seasons, and I'm going to kind of just walk you through kind of my Bible study with this, I guess, and just kind of the questions I have. A lot of times when I'm going into the Word and I'm trying to learn anything, really, I come up with a question or I feel like God's leading us somewhere. And then sometimes I'll do stuff as easy as just Google it, like Bible verses about moving or something like that. So we're going to kind of just go into some Bible verses and just kind of go into what does it mean for Christine and I? What does it mean for you guys? What does it mean for the church? So if you guys want to go ahead and go to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. This is my favorite Bible passage in all the Bible. It says, trust. Hold on, some of you guys are still flipping there. I'll let you get there. That's Christine's biggest pet peeve when we're sitting in service and the pastor doesn't wait for her to get there. They're like, I'm telling all your secrets now. But yeah, she's like, well, everything was great about your sermon. You just went way too fast and no one could turn there. So I'm working on it. Look, growth. What are we talking about? Growth, right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Okay, so kind of like we talked about with this flashlight, right? I knew which path I was supposed to take. Follow the light. Okay? Did I do that right away? No. The good thing is we serve a God who loves us, and man, do we serve a bailout God, because there has been some mistakes we have made, and he has bailed us out, okay? Just because we make a mistake doesn't mean he can't get us back there, but we got to follow him and listen to him. So that tells me, okay, I need to trust God even when I can't see the end result, okay? So let's go to Psalms 102, verse 27. So this is important to me with us getting ready to move. We're going to move mid-July. This is important for me, and if there's one thing that I hope you guys remember, it's this verse. It says, but you are always the same. You will live forever. So what does that tell me? That tells me that God is the same. Even though Christine and I may not be back in Children's Church, that does not mean your kids aren't going to be loved. That doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan for them. God is calling us to go somewhere else, and I believe God wants something more than even we can give. And I believe he can do that, right? I believe sometimes the hardest times in our life are growth times. When you guys are working out, Dexter, I know you like to lift, bro. When you be working out, like, you get sore, right? That hurts. But afterwards, man, you be looking ripped, right? So a lot of that is pain, right? A lot of that is, it's not easy. And God doesn't promise us that everything's going to be easy, but he does promise us that he's the same, and we know his promises say what? His promises say he loves us. His promises say he has a plan for us, and we'll get into a little bit more of that. Let's go into Jeremiah 29:11, my wife's favorite Bible verse, one of them. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I think sometimes when we go, whether it could be us as a church, or even just in your personal life, whether it's a new job, whatever it is, it's easy to kind of like forget who God is. Because when you're going through hard times, you're like, well, God, why would you let this happen to me? Like, why is being married so hard? Why is being a dad so hard? Why are we struggling right now? Why are we tied on money? All these questions. And I always come back to this verse where it says, for I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So even though the enemy comes at us with negative things in our life and will try to get us to go astray, go a different path, if we trust God, we know his plan is good. And that takes faith too. We talk all the time about having faith in God and believing in Jesus so that we go to heaven, right? But we don't always talk about how much faith it takes to stay on that walk. And we'll get into a verse here that talks about it, but to stay on the right path. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. I'm a big Bible guy. I don't like talking about stuff up here to you guys if I don't have something in the Bible to talk about it, because let's be honest, man, y'all ain't come here. I know I'm cool, but you didn't come here just to hear me talk, right? You want to know what God says about a situation, right? So Ecclesiastes 3:1. It's a long one, so stay in here with me. It's kind of like when you're in the Old Testament and it said, so-and-so, begot, 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 begot. And you're like, bro, I don't know any of these people. Just hang in there with me, okay? Okay, so it says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do you people really get, or what do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. God has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him, right? Hold on, I want to pause here. So it says God's purpose is that people should fear him, okay? This is Old Testament. New Testament, what does that mean? What? Yeah, the new covenant, okay? So that means love, okay? So God, this is before we had Jesus, okay? And this is before we had Jesus' promise of eternity, right? So I want you guys, when you guys read that fear, now for us to apply it to ourselves today, it would be love, okay? So God's purpose is that people should love him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before. Because God makes the same things happen over and over again. Does anyone know who wrote Ecclesiastes? Good. King Solomon. Okay. What do we know about King Solomon? What? The wisest man on earth. Okay. So I don't know about you guys, but when I hear the wisest man on earth, that's something I want to listen to. Okay. So this is King Solomon and kind of his interaction and thought process to himself, and he's asking a lot of questions, okay? What that tells me is that, one, it's good to ask questions. Sometimes in Christianity and just in the world, it's like almost seen as a bad thing to ask questions. That's why I love working with kids, because there ain't no question they're not going to ask. If you can think of a question, they're going to ask it. Sometimes we'll be in the middle of a service and they're like asking a question that's like completely something we should not be talking about at church. But we navigate it, right? And with God's blessing, we've been able to handle that. But that tells me there's a season for everything. And just because our season at Westview might be changing doesn't mean we don't still love the church. It doesn't mean we still don't love the kids. It definitely doesn't mean that God doesn't still have a huge plan for our church. I believe 1,000% in Pastor Tim's vision for here. And I will support him in his vision as much as I can from Kansas City, where God's called us. Like I said, we're at this point right now where I just see a light. We're moving to Kansas City. I don't know what's going to happen after that. But that's where we're at. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but in our personal lives, there's seasons. There are some seasons, man, where it feels like we're about to break. Like, it feels like, you know, you got this going on and this going on and this going on and this going on. It's like, how am I going to carry all that weight? And then there's other seasons where it's like, man, I'm feeling pretty good right now. And then as soon as you turn around, same thing, right? There's seasons to it, just like with our giving and just like how we plant things. You know, ideally, we would stay in our Bible and plant good seeds for those seasons that are tough, right? So that way, that's what's growing out. Well, sometimes we're people, right? We make mistakes, okay? That doesn't mean that, oh, well, I'm going through a hard time. I should have prayed. Now I'm up a creek without a paddle. Like, no, we God is a forgiving God. But what we do so is does matter, okay? So let's go into Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. It's another one of my favorites. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, some of you guys just say, don't be anxious about anything. Some of you guys' translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Okay, so what does that tell me? That tells me that, it's just kind of like what Solomon was saying, is there's seasons, but also He doesn't want us to worry. We can still trust God. Okay, through this process, through this change, I truly believe that a beautiful thing is going to come from it. When we talk about farming and we talk about seasons, a lot of times, man, if you go up to a field that's getting burned, right, and it's just up in flames, you're like, man, ain't nothing growing there. That looks horrible. But then when we plant something, they burn that topsoil away. Then when something gets planted, it's better than what was even there before. And a lot of times, I think it's difficult for us when we can't see it. That's what faith is, okay? And I think God gives us a lot of examples of that. Let's go to Joshua 1:9. It says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay? Another time God tells us not to worry. Okay? If you go in your Bible, if you just go into Google and Google Bible verses about not worrying, man, that has saved my hind many a times. When I start to stress out, I'll just go read those. I'm like, all right, it's going to be okay. I can lean it on God. Okay? All right, Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Like I said, we're kind of going to do a little bit of a Bible study here. But I think that's good. I want you guys to be, ideally, we want to all be to the point to where we can just go in and do our own Bible studies, right? I didn't become a Christian until I was in high school. So sometimes I think it's important to go back and kind of touch back on the basis and just, okay, we have this question, let's just navigate it, okay? Matthew 7, verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Okay, so what does that tell me? If we do only what is comfortable, if we only, let's say, okay, this is a job we have, this is what we're doing in our own personal life. If we only do what's easy, what's comfortable to us, I don't know about you, but I'm not like the biggest fan of change. So, because it's unknown, right? So, but if we always stay in the area that we're in, we'll never fully get to where God wants us to go. The narrow road, right, is the growth road, okay? Just like we talked about a muscle. The heart, sometimes God uses the hardest times in our life to teach us the most. And even though He might not be the author of those hard times, sometimes it's our own stupid self. Sometimes it's the enemy. But God uses those to create the most beautiful things. And that's something that I've learned as I've gotten... I'm going to say this, and some of y'all are going to be like, you have no idea. But as I've gotten older, I have learned, that's the number one thing I've learned, is that through the hardship, through the trials, through everything, God has taught our family, me as a father, and as the leader of our household, more through those. I've learned more than I could ever imagine through those situations. So let's go into James 1 verse 2. It says, dear brothers and sisters, When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That sounds insane. If you don't understand what I kind of just talked about, like, oh yeah, I'm so glad right now I don't have any money. I'm so glad right now that I am ticked off. I'm so glad this guy cut me off in the roundabout, or this guy stopped in the middle of the roundabout. Okay, I gotta stop because that actually ticks me off. But yeah, that's a great opportunity for me to work on patience, right? Okay, so count it a great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Okay, so what that tells me is that challenges, changes, growth, that's a good thing, okay? And those are opportunities that God takes to help us, okay? Let's go into 1 Peter verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 5. Some of y'all were really happy when I came up here because you knew you were getting to lunch early. You're like, we are beating the Methodists to lunch. All right. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Can anyone tell me what a cornerstone is? Anyone know? What's a cornerstone, Sammy? Hey, that's good. Good job. So it's the beginning stone of every building, right? We talk a lot about firm foundations when we talk to the kids. So a cornerstone, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Okay? So, when we think about it, if we think about, you know, even before bricks, I just kind of want you to think of like, almost like the cobblestone. When you have stone buildings, right? Those rocks are all different shapes and sizes, kind of like us, right? They're different. Some of them are flat, some of them are round, some of them are angled, some of them aren't, and they're put together through the mortar, right? But not every one of those rocks bears the same weight, because not everyone is the same. And so that tells me that God doesn't give us all the same paths. God doesn't, you know, not everybody starts off the same. Not everybody carries the same weight at the same amount of time. But what it does tell me is that we know that all that weight, all those rocks, all that weight is on the cornerstone, right? Which is Jesus. Okay, so even though I might be carrying more weight here, I might be carrying, this is a great marriage verse. I might be having to carry this weight. She might be having to carry this weight. He might be having to carry this weight. But with that, all those rocks, even the smallest ones, even the old ones, even the new ones, they all hold together to make a building because they have that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, right? So my challenge for you guys is I want to follow God's plan, even when it's hard. The enemy's greatest weapon is fear and worry. And if he can get you to stay where you're at, he's fine because you're not growing. God is a God of growth, right? God is a God of improvement. And my goal is to improve every day as much as I can. It's hard. I truly believe to get to where God wants us to go, that it takes boldness, it takes courage, and it takes jumping out, a leap. Sometimes, if I was up here with that flashlight and I had this up here, I wouldn't have known this was here. But God would have caught me. He promises us, hey, just follow me, I got you. And I think it's still scary, right? I think a lot of times I think of when there's a building on fire and you see these people and the firefighters are under there with like this tarp or whatever it is, And these people are jumping off the burning building and trusting these firefighters to catch them, right? That's a little different because you don't have much choice. Would they? What about the guys who train and have to jump in there for a test? Like that? I don't know if I'd be signing up to do that, man. Like, I don't know. You got to have some pretty good trust in those firefighters that they're not going to mess up. Or even when you think of it as a like with cheerleaders, some of those girls are getting thrown up 10 feet in the air. I'm like, bro. Thank God I'm a big dude and I would have been one of the ones on bottom if I did it because ain't no way I could do that. But that's my biggest thing. I want us as Christians to be able to be okay with taking that step and be okay with the uncomfortableness and to have faith and to have that over that unimaginable peace that God talks about, right? So if everybody wants to close their eyes and bow their head, we'll pray and go to lunch. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you show our congregation our heart. You show them where we are at. I pray you speak to them. I pray that you answer any questions they may have. I pray that you give them boldness. I pray that you give Pastor Tim the wisdom. I pray that no matter what, they know that we love them and that you can show them how much we do and how much each and every one of them means to us. And we thank you that you are a good God, you are a loving God, you have a plan always. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.